students, and within university housing, within our apartment complex, rates were decreased from the 2011 and 2000 rate in order to make it attractive and more affordable for graduate students and their family. As I look at our student body, specifically the diversity of backgrounds and the increase of international students on the campus, I have come to realize that the way we build a bond between students and the university is changing as our cultures change. When I came to the campus 38 years ago, there was no question that the vast majority of our students followed our major sports, football and basketball. And with graduation, they continued to have those affections for those programs. But now I find within our student body populations of students whose lifelong interest might not be in the traditional sports, but other things. I was at a volleyball game just this last week, full house, and also a similar audience at the women's soccer program. As I travel around the world meeting with our international alum, I'm impressed to the extent of the new ways that they follow our athletics. I had a conversation with an alum in Taiwan last week who knew far more about our basketball team because he listens to it on games online than I did. And I believe Mike Thomas is exactly, to repeat what was said earlier, the right person for this time, and I'm delighted that we were able to bring him into our program. I also like his vision for an expanding knowledge of our presence in the Chicago area, where we have a large alumni following. Northwestern advertises itself as Chicago's Big Ten school, and we know there's room for two Big Ten schools in Chicago, and we certainly want to make that obvious. I want to turn to some facilities issues. As you know, one of the issues that we've grappled with over the past year and a half has been the integrity, structural integrity, of the Natural History Building and our inability to use the space in that very large building, much of the space, because of that. It's a important core instructional facility on this campus. And I'm pleased to continue to report that we have a constructed a financial model that provides more than $50 million to allow us to fund the remodeling of that building from our own resources. The reason we're able to do that, and I want to underscore this, is because of the very frugal decisions that the deans on this campus have made over the past 2 years as we have discussed with them and worked with them on budget issues. This is a good point also to report on our overall campus-wide instructional space funding plan. We mentioned this at the board retreat. We discussed a $15 million commitment over the next several years to upgrade campus space. And that additional money comes from general funds for classroom repairs, furnishings, et cetera. But as we began the conversations and identified those rooms and those areas that needed to be remodeled, we found that we needed to think more seriously about this. We have identified priorities, and one of the challenges is to think futuristically about how education will be delivered. The model for is changing. How do you combine a traditional classroom setting with a blending of online and other instructional methodologies and technologies? As universities emerged in the Middle Ages, the primary means of engaging the mind of the learner involved a person with knowledge standing in front of an audience and delivering lectures. And that's been the model for several centuries. We're now in a major paradigm shift in which new methods of engaging the mind to cause learning are with us. And we have to very deliberately plan how we will create those kinds of opportunities for a new learning model and a blended learning model. As you can see from these slides, a number of the campus instructional spaces are in need of significant renovation and technology upgrades. We may need to move to the next slide. A variety of projects are proposed, and let me just highlight a couple of them. The complete renovation of the chemistry annex follows a 2009 facility master plan. You're probably familiar with that space, Trustee Kortz. This project will transform extremely antiquated but highly used undergraduate chemistry labs into contemporary instructional space. The College of Engineering has identified the mechanical engineering building as a high priority for facility renewal. Most of the 12 general assignment classrooms lack mechanical ventilation, central cooling, and modern instructional technology. The 84-seat lecture hall in Huff Hall contains deteriorated asbestos, in the floor tile, pedestal seating that dates to the Dark Ages, window air conditioning units that date to some time ago, and water infiltration. The building leaks. It doesn't meet existing fire requirements. And again, our goal is to address these issues. These and other proposed projects will significantly enhance the quality of our instructional spaces. They address a broad range of needs and concerns, ranging from deteriorated furnishings to critical and perhaps even unsafe circumstances. Many of these projects will upgrade IT systems, which is what, when we talk with faculty, they ask us about. When are you going to provide very high quality broadband access for us to use in the facility? Improve indoor air quality, energy saving strategies, etc. Collectively, these projects will not only provide an extensive range of modern and usable classrooms for students, but they, we believe, will also improve the image of the university, particularly in some of the very intensively utilized spaces. It has bothered me for some time that our students come from high school facilities that are, in some instances, quite better than the facilities they encounter on this campus. Let me change topics quickly. Chief of Police Barbara O'Connor has shared with me our security initiatives in effect when the students return. We've, as I think previously reported, added 6 additional police officers to our force, and we've processed them through the necessary training so that they can come into the force. The security officer program, this is the dormitory program, is moving along aggressively. Full staffing was in place on August 28th. We have also identified and hired the security guard and student patrol coordinator to make sure that these things are integrated. We're installing temporary cameras within the campus district, specifically in what you might call hot zones associated with high crime areas along Green Street and the 6th Street corridors. The current online system has more than 500, with 30 more being installed this semester. Directives have been issued to ensure greater visibility of the campus district during the evening overlaps with bicycle and walking patrols. We have more uniformed officers visible, so there's a visible presence of police. This proved effective recently in the arrest of 2 offenders with weapons, one of which had fired a shot into the air, and we were able to respond very quickly to that. Additionally, the day shift, along with Champaign Police Department, will do foot and bike patrols during regular business hours to provide a presence, a visible presence. The Segway Sentinels have been obtained, and this through funding that came from the Moms Association. They won't let me try these out, I'm sorry, but maybe you can. Student patrol will be used for the safe walks in addition to the officers in this highly visible patrol system. Well, let me wrap up and restate our mission. All of us on the Urbana campus are working with focused determination to fulfill this state's societal expectations that we will provide excellence in education and discovery and public engagement to the citizens, that we will respond to the great challenges that face us. And I would just conclude by saying thank you so much for the opportunity to serve in this role over the past 2 years. And I look forward to observing from a more relaxed position the continued success of the University of Illinois. Dr. Hogan.
Thank you.
Bob, I've had the privilege of acknowledging your phenomenal contribution to the University of Illinois during this period, a contribution that I believe will last decades and will be seen as one of the most important periods in leadership in the history of the institution. I've had the privilege, I guess, of recognizing that at each and every public meeting that we've had, and my colleagues have gotten a little jealous of me, and they've asked that they have an opportunity to express our collective appreciation for you. And I think what we'd like to do at this time is maybe ask Ed McMillan to read the statement that the board would like to use to acknowledge our great dedication and appreciation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is indeed an honor and a privilege for me.